I'm Lorelai Ivanoff. I grew up here. I'm super passionate about storytelling and really believe in the power of storytelling. Each of us has a story, whether we know it or not. So thank you for being here, and thank you for your work so far. Let's get right in.
You're listening to Story 49. I'm Zoe Grieskin.
So I grew up in Unalakleet and absolutely loved growing up here. Had a great childhood, wonderful community, wonderful family. Grew up hunting and fishing and picnicking and spending a lot of time outdoors with my family. That was really meaningful and really took it for granted, took for granted the way of life out here, took for granted my family, took for granted all the great things that we were doing. And I moved away for college and was gone for 20 years.
When I met Lorelai this summer, she'd been home for a few years. And once again, she loved living in the town where she'd grown up. I met her at a youth leadership retreat held at the Unalakleet School for students from around the Bering Strait School District. I sat in on her storytelling workshop, where she was tasking a classroom full of teenagers, look inside yourself, think about who you are. The kids were tired. Many had flown in from other villages just a couple hours before. But as Lorelai grinned and covered the whiteboard with their ideas, it was hard not to be won over by her enthusiasm. It's very trendy to talk about storytelling these days, but Lorelai lives it. When she tells you that stories can help us understand each other better and live in healthier places, she really means it. These days, she does what she calls a patchwork of jobs, from research to writing. Trained as a journalist, recently Lorelai has been drawn to telling more personal stories, firmly rooted in her experiences living in rural Alaska. The tale of how she returned to her hometown of Unalakleet is not just about picking a place to spend her days. It's a story about how she became proud of who she is.
So I think storytelling for me began when I was a little kid. I loved going to my grandma's house. I loved going there. She had good food. She always had fresh bread. We'd take rhubarb out of her garden and dip it in sugar and eat it as a snack. Just was a very warm, loving, caring place to be. And she was a storyteller. So while she was kneading her dough for bread, or while we were cutting beech greens to make a chakhuk, she would tell stories of her childhood. I mean, she had this incredible story. She was 13 years old when her parents died, and she had four younger siblings. And so at 13 years old, she quit school, made the decision to quit school so that she could raise her siblings. And so she would tell stories about that, about the people in this community who would come and help. A gentleman named Monroe, who was kind of her peer at school, would come and light a fire for her in the morning. And just to hear those stories of people taking care of my family before I was even here really anchored me and helped me to understand who I am and where I come from. So I really think storytelling for me begins with those moments with my grandma, realizing I get choked up thinking about it, how powerful stories can be and how powerful storytelling is within our families and within our community. I didn't realize I was a storyteller. I didn't realize I had the tools and the gift to tell stories until I was kind of in high school. We had a really great English teacher. He would give us these tests in class. So simple, like the simplest thing, but it really had a big impact on me. We'd read things like Beowulf and readings from Ernest Hemingway, and then we'd have to analyze the readings and think about those readings. Why did the writer say this? How did he use foreshadowing to tell his story and different things? And so he would give us these essay questions as if we were in college. He said, this is what you're going to face. You're going to do this in-class essay. You're going to answer these questions about something you've read. And I'm going to grade it like you're in college. And so that was the expectation for us. And I was kind of nervous, thinking, holy cow, he's going to grade us? We're in college? I'm in Unalakleet. I'm this little native kid, you know, in this little town, and none of my family's graduated college. How am I going to do this? And it was kind of intimidating. Well, we did the first one, and I got a great score. And we did the next one, and I got a great score. And it just continued that way. And that's where my confidence was kind of built. It wasn't fully built, but I was kind of getting the understanding that I might be a little good at this writing thing. It was kind of hard for me to accept that. Just, I don't know why. I didn't know any writers. I didn't see any writers in our community, really. So kind of got the feeling like maybe I'm kind of good at this. You know, I'd always kind of fretted in my 20s about what I was going to do with my life, what career I would pursue. I think a lot of people have this moment in life when they're like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? And I definitely went through that period, and it was a long period, I think. But what happened was it was as simple as a job description. There's this job description for someone to help with a newsletter for the hospital. The hospital had this great newsletter that Carol Gales in Nome used to produce. And it was fantastic. It had these personal stories, and it had all this great information about healthcare and about our communities and services. And I was always interested. Like every time I got the newsletter, I'd read it, and it was always really good information. And so she had a job for someone who would assist her in this newsletter. And I thought that would be an amazing job. It was the first time I saw something where I thought I could do this every day and really enjoy it. And so I thought, okay, I need to study journalism or, you know, PR or something like that. And so I did. I got into the journalism program in Fairbanks and decided that was what I wanted to do. It took a long time. Like, it took many times for me to realize it was something I was good at and something to pursue. And so when I was at UAF, we covered the Yukon Quest. That was our project for one semester. We took photos, wrote stories. And I remember doing one of my very first face-to-face interviews, and it was with Michelle Phillips, and it was freezing. It was like 40, 50 below where we were. I remember like being a little nervous to approach her just because they're so busy. They're so tired from running all that distance. And yet I have to bother her and ask her questions about how her race is going and how her dogs are doing and how she's dealing with the cold and all of this. And I get over myself and I walk up to Michelle and interview her. And she's like the best person I could have approached. She's one of the kindest dog mushers there is. And I remember that. I remember asking the questions and being able to be nosy and learn about this race. And that's when I kind of got hooked. Like, I get to ask people questions I want to know and get the answers, and anything I want to find out more about, I can do that. And I love that part of reporting and storytelling, is finding out more about people, about what they love, why they do what they do. There's just a real chance for inspiring others with telling those types of stories.
After she graduated, Lorelai moved to Nome. She'd gotten married, was raising two kids, and set about starting her career in journalism, which eventually brought her to KNOM, first as public affairs director, then news director. But as she became comfortable telling other people's stories, she noticed she'd become uneasy with her own.
You know, I grew up in Unalakleet and was very secure with who I was. Alaska native, eats Eskimo food, speaks Inupiaq and Yupik phrases to my family. Leaving here and living elsewhere, like in Nome, and being Lorelai in Nome, Alaska, I noticed myself trying to fit in, and eventually noticed that I was kind of ashamed of being Native in this white-driven society suddenly. And it took living outside of Nome for about a year to realize how silly I had been. And how ridiculous it was for me to try to reinvent myself. I'm a strong person. I come from an awesome town with a great family, like I said, you know, and it's such a beautiful place. And suddenly I was like, I'm proud of this. Like, I'm going back proud of who I am, and I'm not going to try to be anyone else. And so there was definitely a turning point. And I did go back to Nome just kind of a different person. I was eating more native food. I was intentional about like cutting fish and drying fish and asking my parents for seal oil so I could eat it, and just little things. And eventually also at KNOM Radio, I was an on-air announcer and I would share stories of just my life of doing things with my family and being out in the country and authentically sharing from our Alaska Native way of being. I don't know what gave me permission to do it, but I felt like I wasn't getting permission to share that, so I gave myself permission and just did it. So I came back to Unalakleet. I had some life changes. I went through a divorce, and a lot of my friends who lived in Nome were moving away. So I just really felt this urge and this need to reconnect with family and to establish meaningful and daily relationships with my family again in a place that I love. I love Unalakleet, and I wanted time with my kids here. I wanted them to see a little bit and experience the lifestyle that is specific to this place, and feel very grateful. You know, the world is changing, and life for my parents here in Unalakleet was very different from the life I lived here in Unalakleet, and I'm sure my kids' lives are very different from what I experienced, but the place is still the same. The people are very much the same. We have extended families who they can go to for support. We all celebrate together birthdays and Christmas, and we grieve together. We're there for each other during painful times too. And I think for my kids to see that is very healthy and important.
Life back in Unalakleet was as rich and challenging as Lorelei remembered. She spent her days with family and friends, writing, raising her kids, hunting and fishing. But whenever she read about Western Alaska in the news, even in the state newspaper she wrote for, something was missing. A lot was missing.
So this is what happened. Let's start there. One day last fall, I had just gotten back from this incredible trip with two really good friends. We went up to Kayana and we went caribou hunting and just had this incredible time together where we were harvesting caribou, we were spending time in the outdoors, which we all love. Just a time of womanhood, of sisterhood, and of like woman empowerment, right? Like we were hunting caribou and having a great time. And so I returned from that trip, fall time, my favorite time, got back home, and one day I had gone out cranberry picking. It's my favorite thing to do. I love picking cranberries. There's no bugs. The berries are beautiful. And so it was a very calm and serene and nice time of year. And so I was feeling really good about who I was coming from that trip and coming off of berry picking, and just returned home just feeling really rejuvenated and feeling great about where I was in life. And I checked out my Twitter feed, and I, you know, was just on my phone after being outdoors, and there were four stories about rural Alaska that day, and each one was negative, and each one felt like someone was telling me I live in a crummy place, or I come from a crummy place, or where I live is no good. And it doesn't feel good. And so I was really upset. And I took some time and I started writing how I feel like Alaska media needs to do a better job of accurately reflecting our lifestyle in rural Alaska, because they don't. It doesn't happen. That's not my experience. It's not what I see. I mean, with that, I do feel like we do have a responsibility as Native people, and also as people who live in rural Alaska. We have a responsibility to contribute. We have a responsibility to share our stories, to be willing to share our stories, and to train ourselves to do that. Obviously, relying on Alaska media as is not working. But I did feel the need to call out and say, okay, if you're going to tell about our negative side, tell about our positive side too. We're not just negative stories. I live in an incredible town. We have our challenges as anywhere in the world has its challenges. But there is goodness here, and I want to see that reflected.
That experience became an essay Lorelei published in Alaska Dispatch News with the title, Why can't media portray the rural Alaska I know? More than 50 readers commented, mostly saying thank you and asking for more. Since returning to Unalakleet, Lorelei has written more and more from her personal experiences. She's written about the men who talked down to her in hardware stores while she bought supplies to build her house by hand, and studying Inupiaq, a language she says she can write and speak but doesn't understand. She's written more than one piece about her grandmother, the very first storyteller in her life. Sometimes these are difficult stories to tell. Lorelei says her training as a journalist has helped. She asks herself the usual questions. Where were you? What were you doing? How did you feel?
I feel like every time I sit down to write, I sit down and think, it's hard to explain. It's like a gift that often I don't even know what's going to be written until I sit in front of the computer. It just comes, and it's like I tap into this part of me that I can't even explain. I've written stories, difficult stories, where I was sick for 2 weeks because I'm going so personal and I'm going so emotional. But I deliberately and intentionally say, like, to myself, let this piece be useful to others.
Thank you to everyone who made this episode possible. Special thanks to Lorelei Ivanov. You can find some of her work at loreleiivanov.com. That's L-A-U-R-E-L-I. Music in this episode by Mystery Mammal and Poddington Bear. If you or someone you know has a story to share, contact KNOM at 443-5221 or by email at story49@knom.org. Story 49, sharing your story, your voice, your Alaska.